Tonight, multiple sources confirm that the Rhodes to WrestleMania includes a Rhodes at WrestleMania. Will Cody be there? And if so, how should he debut? Is the Excellence of Execution about to become All Elite? Thunder Rosa is the new AEW Women's Champion, but Britt Baker is mad at some fans for a very different reason. And it was 20 years ago this past week that one of the greatest intergenerational matches of all time happened. We take a look back at Hulk Hogan versus The Rock from WrestleMania 18. All that and more tonight on Sunday Night's Main Event.
We love professional wrestling.
Acknowledge me.
This is Sunday Night's Main Event.
The cream of the crop.
Nobody does it better.
On the iHeartRadio Talk Network.
Because you love something fresh and new, don't you?
We deserve better, people.
The best there is, the best there was, and the best there ever will be.
Do I have everybody's attention now?
My God, what an impact.
Hey there, I'm Mike McGuire, and this is Canada's premier wrestling radio show, Sunday Night's Main Event. It's another crazy week as we are on the road to WrestleMania. ROH will finally host the Briscoes versus FTR, but why isn't it happening in AEW? The story's not that great, but we'll go into that and more with Dave Meltzer from the Wrestling Observer Newsletter. He is standing by. And a reminder, extended versions of this episode and a whole bunch of other great podcasts are available for you every week if you join our Patreon for as little as $5 a month. Just like Michael O'Mahony in the UK has done, or Brian Firth, where I'm at here in Saskatoon, Saskatchewan, or all around the world, Patreons are joining us at patreon.com/SNMEradio. Dave is standing by, but first, we take a look at the biggest stories in wrestling. It's this week's Five Count.
You want to hear the breaking news?
The on-again, off-again reports that Cody Rhodes will once again be debuting in WWE at WrestleMania are back on again. Multiple sources, including our own Dave Meltzer from the Wrestling Observer, Mike Johnson, a PW Insider, they're all saying that Cody will somehow be involved in WWE around WrestleMania. Details aren't out for sure, whether it's going to be a surprise debut like the Hardys did, whether it's going to be a reveal on the Raw after WrestleMania. Nobody knows for sure, except everybody seems to know that Cody Rhodes is in fact back in WWE. Some few choice words were used by the Young Bucks when talking to FTR backstage that has fans clamoring to see Bret the Hitman Hart become the new manager for FTR. Now, there's been no official announcement, but of course, they don't do that. What AEW likes to do is drop hints and consistently deliver. So the big question there is, if the best there is, the best there was, and the best there ever will be, is about to be All Elite as well. The now former AEW Women's Champion, Dr. Britt Baker, DMD, is really, really hot at fans. And it's not because of losing her title to Thunder Rosa in that amazing cage match this past Wednesday on Dynamite. What she is upset about is the fact that they resorted to using thumbtacks in the match, and some fans have been accusing them of using fake thumbtacks. She had this to say while showing off a very damaged arm in a video online.
Normally I would never do this, but you guys are f***ing me off saying that the thumbtacks we use are like gimmicked or fake or whatever. This is where the tacks go in the skin, and this is what happens when they slide around and slip out and slip back in. So, kindly off.
Yeah, you have to think that taking the effort to create fake thumbtacks would be a lot more work than just actually using thumbtacks. But then again, why use thumbtacks anyway? Well, as if Big E actually missing WrestleMania due to a very real broken neck isn't bad enough, WWE is now taken to the story of Bianca Belair suffering from a neckish injury. They released the news earlier this week that Bianca was suffering from a broken hyoid bone. I don't know what that is, but it's very similar to the injury that Becky Lynch sustained in real life a couple weeks ago at a WWE house show. Now they're saying that Bianca has the injury and may be out for an indefinite amount of time, which sure sounds like a great opportunity to make her potential victory against Becky at WrestleMania all that much more courageous. Either way, reports are coming in from everywhere saying that don't worry, this one is just part of the show. And the Briscoes are finally facing FTR. It's the dream match that fans have been clamoring for, but now we know why it hasn't happened in AEW. You may remember a few years back that Jay Briscoe released some tweets that were very homophobic and had a lot of things to say about education surrounding LGBTQ issues. Those tweets have once again come back to haunt him. It cost them their WWE deal back in the day. According to rumors, there's an executive at Time Warner that doesn't want to see the Briscoes on TV for the same reason. We're going to talk to Dave Meltzer from the Wrestling Observer about all this and more. Plus, we take a look back at The Rock versus Hulk Hogan, WrestleMania 18, happened 20 years ago this past week. All that and more, standing by for you right here on tonight's edition of Sunday Night's Main Event.
Hello, stranger. Good to see you. Stay.
Sunday Night's Main Event is crowdfunded. You can support the show by joining our Patreon. Just visit patreon.com/SNMEradio. Patreon.com/SNMEradio.
I'm Manny Arsenault, and I'm with Baller Gear.
Hi, I'm Chad Jeter, and I'm with Baller Gear.
I'm Ricky Collins Jr., and I'm with Baller Gear.
Baller Gear is the official home for the CG brand. 39 Sack, Root Demons, Shaq One, Manny Show,
Front Happy Collections, and more.
We're also the newest home for the official tees from SNME Radio.
Check out the selection of tees today at ballergear.ca.
Only when light is combined with the dark is the universe perfect and complete. Like a hypnotizing drumbeat heard deep within the swampy shores, a bubbling kettle brews. She engages your spirit, sending ripples across the surface of your soul. Allow her sacred science and divine state of consciousness to unveil your contact point toward complete clarity. Cosmically grounded, she is all at once every element, fueling the nectar of your memory, drip by velvety drip. Ascending from the mist, Haze Mama breaks imbalance while granting an alternative perception, otherwise unavailable, unless by virtue of her wondrous alchemy. Shh. Haze Mama New England IPA, available year-round for only $3.50. Great Lakes, brewed for you, Ontario.
It's time!
It's time for the Wrestling Observer Insider. With Dave Meltzer on Sunday Night's Main Event.
He is joining us from on the road, so unfortunately the fancy microphone is not quite near us. But Dave Meltzer, where are you, sir? What's going on? It's just a personal thing, a wrestling thing? What's up?
I'm just in Aptos, California. I actually have a place here, so I'm just at my another place just because it's a beautiful morning.
Living a good life. All right, sir. Well, an interesting week in wrestling again here. We've got quite a few things to talk about. I guess we start with one of the bigger stories. Obviously, you broke it earlier this week at the Wrestling Observer, and that is the confirmation that Cody Rhodes has signed, maybe even as long as 2 weeks ago.
I don't know if pen's to paper, but he's in. I mean, okay. It was very clear from watching Raw on Monday that they were building to Seth Rollins against somebody. And Cody Rhodes has always been that somebody. I think that there was like a hiccup 2 weeks ago when we talked about how like things may not be exact. Since then, everyone's been going like, yeah, it's all settled. Everything's
okay. So it's looking like it's going to happen. Has there been any talk then, I guess, of what the debut plan is? I know some people are thinking it might be a Hardy situation where they just popped up at WrestleMania the day after wrestling in Ring of Honor.
It's up to them. I don't know, when the debut will be, other than it will either be at WrestleMania or, you know, confronting Seth Rollins, depending on how that this, you know, the storyline goes, you know, this week or next. But it could be I was given the hint that it could be the Hardys thing where it's the day of the show, which in that situation, Cody would have to win.
I don't see how he doesn't. Right. Like, how do you bring him in? Well, then again, Sting.
Sting. We can always talk about Sting. I didn't think there was I did think because it was Triple H. I actually thought there was a good chance he was going to lose, but when he lost, I couldn't believe it. And then people go, oh, well, he's never going to wrestle again, so he had to lose. And it's like, and then the next time you see Sting, he's going for the world title, and then you go like, okay, why did he lose? But yeah, because Triple H. Yeah, so
yeah. And then fast forward a couple of years later and he's doing stage dives off of the crowd into table spots.
I mean, the one thing on that with the the Seth Rollins thing and everything like that was that the way that that match was built up, where it was like WCW versus WWE, when you saw that, the way that announcing was, it was like, okay, he's got to win because it's not going to be WCW beating WWE 20 years later after the company's already, you know, finished feuding. But that was a weird Vince storyline, if you remember. Yeah.
Oh, yeah, very much so. Okay, speaking of weird Vince storylines turning into real life, turning into the possibility of seeing another new face in a new company, not new, because he did come out once before for them. It would make sense with the tournament and his brother's name coming up, but there seems to be a lot of scuttlebutt about Bret Hart showing up in All Elite Wrestling. There's been little hints dropped. Some fans are saying, is there any confirmation or is there any news on Bret Hart coming in to manage FTR or do anything else in AEW?
I can't confirm it, but when I watched that segment on AEW, it certainly felt like that was the direction, you know, when Matt Jackson made the statement and everything like that. You know, so yeah, but I can't confirm it. I mean, like if you put that in and then the fact they're doing the Owen Hart tournament, I think that, you know, those two things, you know, would make it a good shot for Bret to come in. It makes all the sense in the world. The only reason that it wouldn't happen, I would say, is if Bret felt that somehow it would burn a bridge with WWE. And I don't know how loyal he's going to be to WWE in this situation. Yeah, I mean, I think that there's everything leads me to believe that there's something there. I mean, they wouldn't, and again, AEW is not dropping hints on things and not delivering. That's kind of been the history, that they don't drop hints without delivering at the end. So I feel like it's in. Yeah, I feel like that's what's going to happen. I don't know that it will. I don't know that WWE would be vindictive against Natalya if Bret did that, you know, because he did it once before. I'm sure they weren't thrilled, but it wasn't the end of the line. And if Bret doesn't sign a long-term deal, they'll always bring Bret back. That's the reality. So I'd like to see it. I think it would be really good.
I would like to see that process of healing somehow down the road too, but also teaming him up with FTR, that makes sense for what FTR are all about.
For FTR, it makes sense because they love the guy.
Well, exactly. And go back to the Hall of Fame induction, right? When Cash got in there and he basically made the save and was wearing a Hitman themed suit. If I recall, he was wearing a Hitman themed jacket that night as well. So it was kind of one of the same. It was kind of neat. This is Sunday night's main event. You're listening to Dave Meltzer right now from the Wrestling Observer. He's telling us some of the latest goings on. This is an interesting story with the announcement. The Ring of Honor is going to be doing their show WrestleMania weekend. It's going to be on April 1st. And we are getting the FTR Briscoes match in Ring of Honor. At the same time this was announced, stories started to resurface about a tweet from Jay Briscoe a while back, or a series of tweets.
Back in 2013.
Yeah, it was years ago. But at the same time, the content clearly doesn't age well, for one. And he's come out and said lately, after what was basically, I don't think you can argue, they were homophobic statements. I think he's even recognized that now, that it was a foolish and silly thing to say. But there is some speculation that executives at Warner Media, knowing this history, that's why we haven't gotten the Briscoes in AEW. Is there a way you think for them to mend that fence? They're already doing the second apology tour now, as one does when they find themselves in this situation. Do you think there's ever a possibility that Warner would take the chance and say, yeah, bring them in?
Yeah. I mean, it was 9 years ago, you know, and they're a lot older and more mature now. It was an absolutely stupid thing to say at the time they said it. And there were people who were upset, and it would be more worse now, of course. But I hate, you know, going back that long and dragging something up. But I mean, it was a terrible thing. It was a terrible thing. I get it. But I mean, I can't speak for Warner Media. I don't know. I mean, like from my standpoint, if you apologize and you do things that show that you're sincere in your apology, at some point, you know, you can go in there and go like, okay, you know, we've all moved on. But it's tough. But, you know, I mean, it also could be that they're there to, you know, to cohesively get the tag team championship off the Briscoes because they're the tag team champions. And that's the end of it. I mean, it could be that too.
I guess we'll see what happens. The Briscoes have undeniably been a part of the ROH tag team rebuild, I guess, over the years, because that's been a tag division that was kind of up and down for the longest time as well. But
they're the constants.
They're the constants, and they're also, I guess, the biggest representatives of ROH that are still relevant.
To be completely honest, because I mean, you had the... as far as the original people who were associated with ROH, they would be, you know, because Gresham's only the last couple of years, and they would be the ones that you would think of the most right now. Yeah, it's going to be an all new ROH, however, whatever form it takes.
Stone Cold Steve Austin has confirmed the WrestleMania return is happening. There's speculation that Austin doesn't want to wrestle based on his condition. When he puts it out like that, is this still an ever-changing status? Like, is there a chance we could still see Austin show up full Stone Cold mode? Or do you think it's still going to be maybe like a jean shorts and t-shirt Austin, like via Eric Bischoff?
Well, he and I happen to have a mutual friend who just saw him and told me he was in fantastic shape. So, I mean, he might take a shirt off. There's going to be a fight. I mean, there's going to be a brawl, without a doubt. It's not going to be just kicking the gut and a stunner. He's training very hard. So it's going to be more than that. Will he do a 20-minute match? No, I don't think so. I mean, will he go like 7 minutes or something and have a brawl all over the place? I kind of expect that. Yeah. Yeah.
Is there any chance that Austin takes the pin or?
Oh,
or
God, no.
That would be
ridiculous. No.
Sting Triple H. Anyway.
Well, if it was Triple H, it'd be different, but not Kevin Owens. No.
Okay.
That would just be ridiculous.
Speaking of intergenerational matches, this past week was the 20th anniversary of what was my first WrestleMania in person. Some say that the entire card, probably not one of your top five, top tens, but definitely one of the greatest, most talked about, and most iconic matches of all time. Hogan versus Rock, WrestleMania 18 in Toronto at the Sky Dome. It's known as the night that turned Hogan back into a babyface. It was electric. Tenfold. I can't even describe to this day. I get goosebumps thinking about being in that. I was like 50 rows back, man. And it didn't matter when Hogan did his Hoganing, the place exploded. Looking back now at that 20 years ago, what were you talking about then? What did we know about the match going in? There's been talk, of course, about audibles being called in the middle when the other NWO members show out. I've heard all the rumors everywhere, but can you take us back to that match and maybe give us some of the behind the scenes stuff you knew going into and then coming out of that match?
Well, I mean, Rock was always going to win, you know, and Rock was going to be the baby face. And then, like, literally, like, they just saw the reaction that Hogan was getting all over Toronto. And I mean, he, like, was in Toronto. He flew back because he didn't bring his gear to get his baby face gear. And they knew when the match started, they knew he was going to be the baby face. It's not like they figured, like, in the middle, they changed something. They knew he was going to be the baby face. They didn't know when they made the match. In fact, they thought it would be the opposite. But when the match started, they were not that shocked, and they went with it. And it was one of those things, because Rock wasn't turning heel. So they tried to do a match that babyfaced both of them to a degree. That was the attempt. And the match was what it was. I mean, it was the crowd reaction was incredible. And Hogan was a babyface from that point on that run. He got a championship after he lost that match. And then got the championship off of that reaction. But then they took the championship right off of him very quickly. The reaction was amazing and, you know, led to Hogan's last championship reign.
Talking to Dave Meltzer from WrestlingObserver.com, where you can find his weekly updates, of course, the legendary newsletter as well. Another story coming out. We're still waiting for these Hall of Fame announcements as we get closer and closer to WrestleMania. One was made this past week, and it had controversy for what I feel are the wrong reasons. At the same time, there are great arguments for it when you have names like Mickie James out there, who was a big talk of Hall of Fame earlier this year, but nothing against her. Charmel, Queen Charmel, whichever moniker you want to go by, was the latest inductee announced into the WWE Hall of Fame. Of course, we know she's the wife of Booker T. We know that she did play an integral part in his career, especially in WWE when the whole King Booker thing came out. Is the heat justified, in your opinion, on Charmel going in, or can people just kind of cool off? And
it's the WWE Hall of Fame. It's like, you can't take it seriously. It's whoever Vince just decides to pick. There's no criteria. So it's like, you shouldn't have heat, but you also shouldn't take it seriously. It's just what it is. It's a night. Look, I know people who were very, very close with Vince, And they would tell me, you know, it's like, it's a marketing ploy. Do not, like, I would go like, this guy's not a Hall of Famer. This guy is. Why isn't this guy in? And go, do not take it seriously. It is not anything that real or standards or anything like that. It is a marketing ploy. We have, you know, certain criteria of people that have to get in, and then we fill it up with whoever. And that's what it is. So she fit a criteria that they have. Well, you could say, okay, Mickey James. Mickey James works for Impact. You know, maybe they didn't want to do it this year. I don't know. You know, it's like, you know, she's married to Booker. Booker's on good terms with them. She's, you know, she was there. You know, whatever. They have criteria. They announced her. And I don't think anyone should get mad. And I don't think anyone, you know, take it seriously like it's real Hall of Fame either. It's just what it is.
And of course, as we get closer and closer to WrestleMania, Dave, are WWE happy with the way things are looking going into WrestleMania now? Because there did seem to be quite a panic less than a month ago.
They're at 58,000 for each show. Yeah. Would they like to be sold, you know, sold out both nights? Of course. Is that going to happen? Not without papering. Will the building look pretty full? Yeah, it'll look pretty full. They'll be okay. I mean, it's not, I would say, you know, they probably would hope for better, but you look, it's 50,000 in two straight days. No one's ever done that in wrestling before at you know, at these kind of ticket prices. So it's, from that standpoint, it's something that's never been done. So you should say it's really good. But yeah, you know, I mean, it always could be better. I think that the idea of two days at, let's just say, $12 million is better than one day at, let's say, $16 million. You know, it's more money. And also, we don't have that 7-hour show deal like we've had in the past, which I think is like, I think WrestleMania is going to be a 2-night thing, you know, going forward. I think that this was like the first step to see, will people buy? And they bought in good enough numbers. You know, like, did it sell out first day? Were the original numbers gigantic? No, but it's fine. It's not like, you know, compared to whatever, you know, it's a big stadium. It wasn't going to be easy to sell it out two straight days.
Do you think they're ever going to go for that big of a stadium again if they go for 2 days?
Well, next year they're in SoFi, which is going to be just as big. They haven't announced two dates for next year, but I think it's better to go for 2 days. Just the nature of what WrestleMania has become. There's more money to be made, and it's better for the shows. I mean, is it harder? Is it more time consuming when you got 2 days? Yeah, some people don't like it, but I think for the most part, I think it's much, much better.
I just worry from the fan experience, because that's where, even when I've gone to a couple WrestleMania weekends, like, there is a certain fatigue, and this might last for a little while, but I don't know if personally I see it being sustainable 2 days for that much, especially when there's all these other distractions going on around you from different companies doing shows and different events, WrestleCons. Like, it's a lot, and there's only so much money out there from fans, even if some of them are spending like big bucks. Like,
well, if you're flying in from England, I think that actually in some ways 2 days is superior to one, because you get two WrestleMania shows and you're already spending a ridiculous amount of money on travel and hotels anyway.
Right.
So the wrestling ticket isn't your big expense. So I don't think that that's so much the issue, the money thing. I think that it's just a question of what's better, a 7-hour show or 2 3.5-hour shows. And I think 2 3.5-hour shows is better. You know, the first experiment of this was Tokyo Dome, and I was actually there. And the second night was tiring to me, you know, man, because you'd already seen a big show. And those were longer shows than WrestleMania is going to be. Those, I think, were 4.5, 5-hour shows. I think they were 5-hour shows. So two 5-hour shows in two straight days is pretty tough. But from a business standpoint, it worked out for New Japan, and they've continued to do it. And that's the example. And when New Japan did it successfully, I thought, look, you know, WrestleMania is bigger than Tokyo Dome. That should be your sign. And WWE tried it last year. They felt it worked. This year, you know, I think they felt it worked, they're, you know, so far. And I think that, you know, I talked to people there, and they certainly gave me the impression that the idea is 2 days going forward. They always could change their mind, you know, based on what happens. I think that they all thought, you know, that 7-hour show thing just doesn't work. It's just, that's more tiring than the 2 days.
As always, Dave Meltzer with all the inside know. And last week, as we found out that Scott Hall was in some pretty critical condition, we did go through the entire career of the Bad Guy. So if you would like to hear that information, check out last week's episode. We made the full Patreon edition free for everyone to listen to at snmeradio.com. Coming up next, Boris and Matt are here. We're talking about the week that is to come, including the possible debut of Cody Rhodes in WWE. Apparently, the deal is happening sometime at WrestleMania weekend. What do you want to see Cody Rhodes do? Plus, we're going to talk about the Briscoe situation and more right here on Sunday Night's Main Event.
Chat wrestling all week long by joining the Sunday Night's Main Event group on Facebook. Just search SNME Radio. You're listening to Sunday Night's Main Event on TSN Radio.
I've been watching you, watching.
If you're a fan of Sunday Night's Main Event, check out WrestlingObserver.com, a daily podcast, multiple podcasts per day, with hosts Dave Meltzer, Brian Alvarez, and a number of others. You get a full library of podcasts dating back to 2005, over 9,000 shows, hundreds of back issues of Dave's Wrestling Observer newsletter dating back to 1991, and so much more. Don't miss out. Check it out today, WrestlingObserver.com.
Well, how's your doodle? Rolling Baggage here, rolling solo down here at Sunnyside Beach. I likes to get here nice and early to grabs me some prime sandy real estate. I lays out me towel, slather myself liberally with tannin butter, and soak in some tasty vitamin D. Speaking of tasty, looky looky in me cooler box. A whole gaggle of Sunnyside Session IPA. Big on the taste, low on the alcohol. A springtime, summertime, anytime treat, and a permanent staple in the grips of me fingers. Oh, and check out the can to see a brand new me. Been lifting some iron to boost me biceps, triceps, and me deltoids. You know what they say, sun's out, guns out. Work your tan and crack a can of Sunnyside Session IPA.
Sunday Night's Main Event continues on the iHeartRadio Talk Network.
Welcome back to Sunday Night's Main Event. It's Mike McGuire here, and joining me for the Wrestling Roundtable, it is Boris Aguilar. It is Matt Ederer, the hosts, the stars, the namesakes, the acronym originators for the BAM podcast, as well as NXT Talk. And they'll pop up all over the place here, after parties, you name it, right here on the SNME Radio Network. Gentlemen, how are we today?
I'm doing swell. I'm doing good. How are you?
Swell.
Swell.
Well,
yeah. Matt, you want to beat swell? What do you got?
I can't. I don't know if I could top swell, but it is a beautiful day in Toronto. I'm enjoying some sunshine, cracked a beer on the porch. Life is good.
Well, then I'm just going to say I'm dandy. And in the illustrious words of Bret the Hitman Hart, who are you to doubt El Dandy?
There we go.
It's been a crazy week. Again, some people might be wondering, if they're tuning in this week, why we're not talking more about Scott Hall and his passing. Honestly, it was happening as we did last week's show. So I want to invite you to check out last week's episode of Sunday Night's Main Event at snmeradio.com, because we really did do a lot of talk from Dave Meltzer going through his entire career legacy, the three of us talking about Hall's impact in our lives, things that we loved as fans. And of course, there's been great memories on the SNME Facebook as well. So just in case you're tuning in going, why aren't you guys still talking about Razor? Still, condolences to his family, to his friends. But today we want to look forward at some of the things going on this coming week. For example, the story came out that Cody Rhodes will be in WWE around, if not during, WrestleMania weekend. Gentlemen, I want to throw it out to each of you, and we'll start with Boris first. I want you to imagine yourself watching WWE for the next few weeks. Where is the opportune time for Cody Rhodes to show up?
I think the best time, the opportune time, would be at WrestleMania, him having that surprise appearance similar to the Hardy Boys a few years ago. I think that is going to get your biggest bang for buck.
I think if Rollins comes out, and I'm just playing devil's advocate here, man, because like I said, I like liking things. Do you not think there's a fear that maybe they go to the well one time too many, where if Rollins comes out and says, give me somebody to wrestle, a la the Honky Tonk Man against Ultimate Warrior from SummerSlam 88, for any old guys like me that remember that moment, is there not a fear that it's just going to turn into Cody chance the whole time?
It's possible that that could happen, but I don't think that it would hijack the show. Okay. If anything, do it early on night one, right? Just get
really?
It over with.
Early?
Boom. Yeah, let's do it early.
Okay. That's not a bad idea either, I guess, if everybody's waiting for it and expecting it. Matt, where ideally do you see Cody Rhodes showing up in WWE?
So as a fan, if I had my choice, I kind of like where Boris's head's at. What if Cody shows up early on night one, answers a Seth Rollins challenge, and then on night two, they have the match? And it kind of is like a through line throughout WrestleMania. I wouldn't mind that storyline. I think the best use of Cody is probably Raw after WrestleMania, just because what else did they have? I think that could be a real and possibly the only impact, you know, maker that they have that could actually make a difference. And I don't see anything else WWE has up their sleeve that could.
Cody could be a great name to have show up at Raw after WrestleMania. Do they leave WrestleMania alone? But then what does Rollins do, right?
If that's the thing, right?
Like, if they don't use Rhodes at Mania and they save him for the Raw after Mania, then Rollins has nothing to do.
Unless he somehow inserts himself into the Austin KO program.
If they're not going to ring a bell, if they're not going to have an actual match between Austin and KO, Rollins might as well go in and eat a stun or two, get a Luthez press. Why not?
Hear me out on this, fellas. Austin does the whole thing with KO, you know, and then Rollins comes out. This was supposed to be me. And then Steve says, oh, don't worry, son. I brought somebody for you. And then Cody comes out.
Oh. Ooh.
That would be nice. That would be
could
good.
Could that actually be? I don't know. It's just something. It's just, I think that's too deep for the casual fan who WrestleMania tries to appeal to. But again, we're just spitballing here on Sunday Night's Main Event, friends. If you're just tuning in, talking about Cody Rhodes making his way into WWE. How does he show up? When does he show up during WrestleMania weekend? Because that's when they're saying it's going to be. Boris Matter joining me here. This is something I had in our notes here. I'm going to just touch on it quickly. CM Punk is clearly going for the AEW championship. He's made the gesture. He's doing interviews talking about how he doesn't hate Adam Page. He just wants to be AEW champion more than he does. In your mind, in this run that CM Punk has been doing, he's been painting this picture, as he said, he's an artist painting his picture, wait for the piece to be done. He has gone from wrestling the upstarts to getting his vengeance against MJF, and now he's going for the title. Does CM Punk, either to cement his comeback legacy or to even establish the title more so, does he need to be AEW champion? Matt, let's start with you.
That's a really good question. I don't know if it establishes the title more so, because I'm sure you're going to get that underbelly of fans saying, oh, you just put it on an ex-WWE guy. CM Punk is over the hill. He's this, he's that. It would have to be a really good match in order for it to, quote, elevate the title. I think the title's pretty good where it's at. I think Page has done a good job. Moxley and Jericho before him, Kenny Omega's run, you can say what you want about some of the storytelling, but a lot of those matches were incredible. Like, I think the AEW title's in a fine place. I don't think Punk needs it to be in the Hall of Fame. I don't think Punk needs it at all. I think we're good where we're at.
I agree with Matt. Like, I don't think he needs it, but I think the story that they're going with, like, you know, the Michael Jordan return after a couple of years off, and then just like Michael Jordan, CM Punk's coming back, winning the title, and I think that's the overall story, the overarching story they're going with, and I think that's a cool story, but I don't really think he really needs it. I don't think the belt needs to be elevated. I think it's fine where it's at, but I can see where his story is.
I still think they got to get the title off Adam Page or give Adam Page a huge boost here, because he is doing some good stuff. The tag match he was in, but again, this is what bothers me. Your world champion was in a pretty throwaway six-man tag and they lost. That was the worst part. You get the world champion, the world tag team champions, and they lost. Like, yeah, I just think there needs to be some serious rehabbing done of the AEW title right now, but that's just me. So speaking of things we've been waiting to see, we found out the FTR Briscoe's match is happening in Ring of Honor. So it's going to happen. Now, unfortunately, what has surfaced from this is a tweet from 2013. Meltzer and I talked about it earlier. Some very homophobic things said by Jay Briscoe. Since then, he has recanted them. Since then, he has gone on not one, but two apology tours, so to speak. Is this a conversation that needs to continue, or have the Briscoes paid their penance, so to speak? And I know it's a pretty heavy thing to talk about here. So just to any listeners out there, we want to establish right away that we are in no way endorsing or condoning any comments that have a negative impact in the sort of way that Jay Briscoe's comments did. And you're going to have to look them up online to see them, because we're not going to repeat them here, but it was not good stuff. Boris, in your mind, is there an apology tour big enough that would make someone from like a Warner Media who oversees the networks that AEW runs on getting over that and letting them come be a part of AEW?
Look, it happened in 2013. They essentially got their WWE contracts pulled back then. Now they're having issues again. I honestly think that there's no amount of apology tours that they can do at this point to go over that hurdle. Someone has it in their head that, you know, this was no good, no bueno, and, you know, they're going to be out of a contract.
Even though WWE has brought back Hogan, they've brought back people who have done unspeakable things. You know, is it just because of the level of star that these guys are that they get away with it? Matt, do you think there's something against the Briscoes? Because even though they're popular to fans outside of the WWE world or outside of even AEW TV, that there's something going against them for these executives to accept the apology tour.
Again, we are not condoning what they said. What they said was outlandish and immediately. Well,
it was what Jay said. It was what Jay
said. Yes, yes. What Jay said. We can't even lump
both of them into it. So.
Very fair. Thank you for that distinction, yep, Mike. Yep. But what Jay said was outlandish and terrible. And it was like at the time, it was like, whoa, it was not a thing that snuck up on us. It was a thing that needed to be addressed immediately. I can see it, man. It's the world we live in. To answer your Hulk Hogan question, yes, the difference is Hulk Hogan is a world famous, renowned superstar, movie star. Hulk Hogan is in a different planet than the Briscoes, unfortunately. And I do think it's not like it's ruined their wrestling career. They're still like, in terms of pure work, they might be Hall of Fame level wrestlers. Like they still had really, really solid careers. But I do think those comments probably have ruined their chances of ever signing with a major league company on like national TV.
I think everything is so sensitive now as far as people being afraid of even being associated with a past action that you need to weigh the individual against the potential outcome. And I guess in this executive's mind, and fairly so, it was a hateful comment, if nothing else. I don't know how else to describe it. And if Jay Briscoe has learned from that and has done what he's done, that's good for him, the person, no matter what, that he finds personal growth, that he finds a way to move on. But yeah, I understand, unfortunately, there's this sociopathic business mentality now where every dollar, every penny counts, and anything that could take away any shells from the pile, we're not going to risk. So it's definitely going to be an uphill battle for them, and we'll see what happens. I hope that everything he says is sincere about changing his thoughts, and that's just my personal opinion on that as well. Let's move forward here. Another thing that a lot of people have eyes on as we talk about superstars showing up in strange places, Bret the Hitman Hart possibly being FTR's managers, referee, advisor. Does this get you excited at all, fellas? Matt, let's start with you on this one.
I mean, I love some Bret Hart, and I do think he's an underrated promo. He's cut some gems if you go back throughout his career, but I don't know how much Bret Hart at this stage in the game is going to add to a weekly television presentation. It's not like he can go in the ring much like even Sting can at this point, I don't think, because he's had some serious health issues now, you know? So, I mean, I love Bret. I'd love to see him as a one-off or even two or three off if there's anything to be gained from him out there every week.
And maybe it's a short-term thing too. You know, Meltzer and I were talking about how he could be a part of the Owen Hart tournament. Maybe this can be a reconciliation between him and Martha, Owen's widow. Boris, what do you see? If Bret Hart is showing up in AEW, is it short-term? Is it long-term? Is it a one-off?
I think a one-off would be best. I think for the casual viewer, the name Bret Hart, you know, it can get people excited. I think he still has enough star power around him. He still can't talk, but he can't be physical at all. If he were to be there long-term, it wouldn't benefit anyone. I don't see how him being there for a long time could be a good thing.
All right, there you have it. Boris and Matt from the BAM podcast. Fellas, you're going to stick around for a minute because this past week, it was the 20-year anniversary of Hogan versus Rock. It happened in the home country of this here show. It happened in actually the home base where Sunday night's main event was established, in Toronto, Ontario, Canada. The Sky Dome, icon versus icon, Hollywood versus Hollywood. Who was the biggest name? But most importantly, what were the biggest memories and impact that came from Hogan versus Rock 20 years ago this past week, right here on Sunday night's main event?
You're listening to Sunday Night's Main Event on TSN Radio.
Boris Hagelin.
And I'm Matthew Ederer.
And we're still the Young Guns.
Even though, mathematically speaking, we aren't getting younger.
Every Wednesday morning, you can wake up to our show on the Sunday Night's Main Event Patreon feed.
That show is NXT Talk, where we talk about NXT. We also rate every match and rant about the wrestling world.
The show is NXT Talk, and you can find it on SNME Radio's Patreon feed. That's patreon.com/SNME Radio.
I'm Manny Arsenal, and I'm with Baller Gear.
Hi, I'm Chad Jeter, and I'm with Baller Gear.
I'm Ricky Collins Jr., and I'm with Baller Gear.
Baller Gear is the official home for the CG brand, 39 Sack, Root Demons, Shaq One, Manny Show,
Run Happy Collections, and more. We're also the newest home for the official tees from SNME Radio.
Check out the selection of tees today at ballergear.ca.
If you smell what The Rock is cooking.
It was 20 years ago that that music played through the Toronto Sky Dome, as it was known. It was the home of WrestleMania 18. For 20 years ago this past week, it was Hulk Hogan versus The Rock, 68,000 strong in Toronto Sky Dome, allegedly. I was 50 rows back on the floor, because in my stupid mind, I thought floor seats were still better than stand seats, because I had never been to a wrestling show at a baseball field before, let alone the Sky Dome. So I didn't realize I probably would have done better to be closer but further up off the floor. Either way, still felt the electricity. Boris, I know you were there as well. So going back to that night in the Sky Dome, when Hulk Hogan was supposed to be the ultimate bad guy, and he came in and they blew the roof off the place, and Rocky got booed out of the building 10 times over. What is your biggest takeaway from Hogan versus Rock, and what did that match mean to you 20 years ago?
Honestly, that match is one of the most iconic things in my life. You know, wrestling is a huge part of my life. Obviously, being able to go to a WrestleMania here in Toronto was awesome. And that match specifically, because I went in there knowing I was going to cheer for Hogan. Uh-huh. The first time I'm seeing Hogan live, I was going to cheer for this guy. I didn't think 67,000 other people were going to cheer for him too. So just that reaction was just infectious. You just got so amped up. And as the match started, as Rocky was getting booed out of the building, you just got so much more excited, and it just became louder and louder and louder. So to me, not only was the match iconic in the sense of you had icon versus icon, right? It was the crowd. It was the experience. Everything about that match was just incredible.
68,237 was the officially released number, in case we care that much, friends. But Matt, you weren't there, but obviously you're aware of the match. Obviously you've seen it. Icon versus icon. The absolute best ever. The one and only. I have to ask you, that first meeting, Hogan versus Rock, what did it mean to you as a wrestling fan?
Oh, man, it was a masterclass in Hulk Hogan just being over, being the master manipulator in a good way, sometimes in a bad way, but just knowing exactly how to work the crowd, how to milk every movement of his body. And it was just like going to school, man. Hulk Hogan on that moment turned the clock back 10, 15 years. And I remember that because I've been a wrestling fan since I was 3 years old. But we lived in a small town, not exactly affluent growing up. And that was going to be the first WrestleMania that I watched live, but I would have had to pay-per-view out of my own pocket. And I bailed on it because the only thing I cared about was Hogan Rock. And boy, did I regret it. I wish I would have paid the money and I didn't miss another WrestleMania. I think since, actually, feeling that pain. And WrestleMania 18, I wish I would have plunked the money down to see it live, let alone just on pay-per-view. But yeah, that was a one match card, but boy, what a match it was.
I remember that I did not have a VCR set up because it was still the VCR era.
Yes.
I was there, but I didn't have a VCR set up to tape it at home because that never dawned on me. So when the DVD finally came out, I could not get enough of rewatching that match over and over again. And the funny thing is, even though I can say I was there, watching it on video was actually a better experience for me. And the one moment where Hogan finally shoves Rocky back into the corner and then does the flex, and you see that wide shot of everybody in the sky literally jumping out of their seat, jumping. Okay, not just happy, but jumping.
That moment specifically, I loved because the camera flashes. There's something that that camera flash adds so much like effect and beauty to watching wrestling. That's one thing I really miss about wrestling nowadays.
Some great memories of Hogan versus Rock, and that's what we talk about here. We love talking about wrestling each and every week, and we will continue to do so if you want even more. But if you want sports talk as well, if you want trivia, if you want music, we touch on all that, plus keep you up to date on all things happening in professional wrestling. SNMEradio.com is where you go. Patreon.com/SNMEradio for as little as $5 a month gets you in the door. Gentlemen, as always, thank you for being a part of the show.
Thank you so much for having us. Check out BAM. We're going to talk some NWA Crockett Cup, some NCAA March Madness. And if you haven't had your fill of Scott Hall yet, we got top 10 Scott Hall matches on that show as well.
That is coming up and a lot more for you. Until next week, as always, I'm Mike McGuire. Thanks for listening and letting us do what we do. Play safe, drive safe, happy seeing ya.
Follow Sunday Night's Main Event on Twitter at SNME Radio. Sunday Night's Main Event on TSN Radio.